But I prefer to be an outcast.
Third culture kids, where the concept of the Dukan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You tuned in to the Dukan show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
The Dukan.
Welcome to your tribe.
Into bed, but I refuse to.
What the hell does cook you into bed mean?
Like, means like she Thank knocks you. You out.
Yeah.
Is that a Canadian thing?
No, Ali Shaban gets me. That's why I fangirled over him the moment I met him.
Have you guys, I was always been a fan of you.
Yeah, is that Ali Shaban? Ali Shaban? Ali Shaban? Wait, we need to wait because Reem ordered tea late.
I ordered tea late? Who paid for it?
Being a sponsor and being a project manager is two different. I'm a sponsor of this tea. I'm not a project manager of this tea.
Don't complain. If you didn't pass the funds early enough, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Would you
thank
like
you very
some
much.
Tea?
No, I'm good. Assalamu alaikum, Ali Shaban. Welcome. For all of you that have seen their mothers or aunties upset, we are not finding the carpets that we like. Ali Shaban is the reason, ladies and gentlemen.
I have the plug for the carpet.
I love your carpet. See, the funny thing about it is that when I first saw the carpet, and if you guys haven't seen it, we'll put the link, etc.
Since we're visual now, we'll put the actual carpet. You have a high-res picture, Ya Alu.
Of course, we'll send it.
Yeah.
But Ali, before, this is a non-sponsor. Fill this unbranded water, which everyone knows. Since it's not a sponsor. But if you want a sponsor,
anyway,
get in touch with Hussein. Anyways. Saying at dukanmedia.com. Quick plug.
Anyways, back to the carpet. When I first saw the carpet folded into an airplane, I suddenly realized whoever made this just was inspired. I thought you were inspired. I didn't know your name. I didn't know I just saw the piece and it deeply, deeply moved me because in my world, the carpet has been in every home I've ever been 100%. In.
Especially that kind of carpet.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? When I thought about carpets, Aslan, or trying to think on carpet as an actual medium, I wanted to find something that is in all houses, whether poor or rich.
Yeah.
So I think like subconsciously, I wanted like to show the modern man through that carpet.
Nice.
But this artwork actually was a very inspiring artwork because I was looking at how much percentage of people in school actually get the good education from what had. So I called it the 12 p.m. class. Not a lot of people know that that's what it's called. And 12 p.m. class, there's no 12 p.m. class. That's prayer break.
In Saudi. Oh, okay.
So I went back to what the Prophet's first words were, which is Iqra. And that's where it got inspired to do this work. So this artwork actually is a form of three artworks. One is an actual paper plane, one is the broken nose paper plane, one is a crumbled piece of paper. So this is the first one is the paper plane that floats, so it thinks outside the box.
Yes.
The one that is broken is the one that hits those borders. So the person that is trying to be something, but is always like constrained by society. So that's the broken paper plane. And the crumbled piece of paper, I think I just called the unthinking majority.
The unthinking majority.
Ali Shaban. As much as I loved it, now that you said all that, now I know why I'm wearing a blazer. I knew you'd be wearing a blazer for this. Anjad, yani Ali, this is for you. This whole outfit is for you.
He came to do business.
Anjad.
No, the truth about it is that the one with the broken nose deeply moved me the most. Because your hope as a young Arab
is to fly.
And the boundaries set for you were set long before you.
100%. Listen, what I think is I feel like there's two things I'm very focused on. I think borders being there is actually important.
Yes.
Because if you don't know where the lines are, how are you gonna think outside those lines?
And break them. How are you gonna push that boundary?
So I think in human history, I think freedom of choice can be problematic.
Yes.
Because then you become very stagnant when it comes to that.
Or paralyzed
because you have freedom of choice and choice becomes a big problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then it becomes something about identity and then you're more torn.
Yes.
Because you have so much choices to do.
Yeah.
When you're, I think, but it's just me by the way, it's just an unpopular opinion. But I think if I'm limited in somewhere, if you box me in, that's where I'm going to shine.
That's okay. Yeah, turning that's a pressure, nature. That's turning, your nature.
Turning pressure into treasure. I think that's the thing I would like to say.
Like with Akkawi, if you box him in.
Is this what you've been trying to do all this time?
I've been getting to this.
You're trying to box me in so I can shine? And yeah. I tell you, let me let me fly?
Like, I'm a peacock. Let me fly. This is Akkawi. But the truth is, I'm boxing you in.
I never called myself a peacock. By the way, she calls me a peacock. I would never call myself a peacock.
You are eccentric. And
thank
I love that
you.
About you.
Thank Habibi, you very yeah. much. Thank you.
Ali, have you ever, when you first started with the project, did you get or are you still getting any kind of backlash?
Oh, of course. Oh.
Like, what's your favorite ones?
My favorite backlash was…
And if they sent it in Arabic, feel free to say it in Arabic.
No,
we'll translate it right.
So Ahmed, they compared my work to Ahmed Faik because Ahmed Faik does carpets. And one of my responses, actually, literally when that artwork came out, there was this little art community. And art community is very vicious. It's
yes,
normal.
Yeah.
So they made this Instagram account, started making it, criticizing that work, which is beautiful because when you create art, you just can't, you want to create dialogue, but you can't control which way it goes.
Yeah.
So if the artwork was made and people diss it or love it, it has done its job.
Okay.
It made the narrative.
Yes.
Happen. So that's being said, I never reply to these hates, like a lot, and people tag me as well. And some people, so there was this list of things I asked in order for me to take your critique seriously is are you an art enthusiast? Have you actually bought art? Have you went to galleries outside and inside the Arab world? Have you done an op-ed about art? These like less a checklist. And if you check them, I will take your criticism seriously. But by then, if they're not checked, that's an opinion.
Yeah. Wallah, sarahtan, I love this. Before you diss me, I will interview to see if you're worthy of dissing me.
So what happened is because I got published by a lot of international media.
Yeah.
So one response was, I'm like, what am I, how can I get you guys to love me? And then she's like, oh, and they posted like, so he doesn't care about local opinions. He just cares about international coverage. I'm like, what am I supposed to do now?
No, not at all.
So then that when the moment of triumph was, I get a call from the Saudi Art Council. And they literally tell me, thank you for your noble silence. You never replied to anything.
Thank you for your noble silence.
And I'm like, actually, I have a good trainer. I didn't want to post a million things explaining. But I'm like, you know what? Dialogue is dialogue. And it's beautiful. I think it's piped down anyway.
Yeah, it's true. No, that's a text message I've never received.
Yeah. Reem, I thank you futurely for your noble silence. Inshallah.
It's a nice way of saying, shut the fuck up.
But Ali, you know, I know you have a big audience in Saudi, and we love Saudi because of like if they want to diss or because of their social banter or how they like go at
they
someone.
Are
so, what is the funniest thing you've ever received, even if it's negative or but for someone that makhassub al art, they just saw it and they just threw you something on Twitter.
It's right here. I'll show you. And you know what? I love the meme so much. I actually posted it myself.
It's his screensaver.
Yes.
Literally. I posted as an actual post on Instagram, and the guy's like, hey, I made fun of you. Please tag me. I'm like, sure. So here. It's a merito, which holds the shmar, and it catches it like this. But if you put merito with my carpet, you get this.
Can I see?
Send us that. God, send us hilarious. That so we can put that. That's pretty hilarious. Funny.
That's hilarious. That, but that's how much I love. I love meme, Saudi. I love meme culture so much.
Yeah. Because
I love meme culture in Saudi on Twitter.
100%, dude. They're vicious, there, man.
Yeah.
You just don't want to get hashtag.
No, just lay low. Yeah. Keep a noble silence.
You know, it's like with us. If someone this is the podcast, which we're always welcome to, we're always welcome to it. We tell them to come on the show.
That's
beautiful.
You know how many shows we've had with people who dissed us? Zero.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that because to be honest, if I felt when I grew in my career, I felt like everyone loved me.
Hmm.
And now I know that not everyone does. I'm accepting that. But that comes with the price. I know it's cheesy as sound. Price of success.
That's the price of success. It's the chaos that comes with success.
It's the chaos.
Yeah.
It's the chaos that comes with the balance.
Ah, so he has chaos tattooed on one side and then balance on the other side. Making it strangely very balanced.
And then even if it's not balanced on his neck, maktub between. Betweens.
This too shall pass.
Between. Yeah.
And so the truth of it, and I guess that was something that we had as a part of our strange brand identity. It was something that we just did as a practice. Was if anyone had said anything negative about us, we opened your spot and we said, you come sit with
come
us.
Come sit with us.
Come.
Have this discussion.
Let's have the discussion.
That's the thing. When it came to that Instagram pages, I'm like, if they came and spoke to me face to face, I would have loved to have this conversation
with them. Yeah, it would have been discourse.
It was discourse. However, again, you cannot lead a narrative when it comes to an artwork.
Yes.
But that's the beauty of, but people don't understand that when you produce an artwork, you're putting your baby out there to be crucified.
Slaughtered.
Slaughtered.
You're sending your
guys,
baby.
Do you know how much research was done?
Yeah. And I think that's something that people may not know, because unfortunately, I just don't think that many people online engage with the art world in a very deep way.
Can I tell you something I've done around the time of the World Cup, where everyone was so against Miriam Faris for the song.
Yeah.
And everyone compared her to Shakira. And I'm like, at my moment, I'm like, I think the Arab world's a bit too harsh, because no matter how lame the lyrics are, no matter how she was on stage or on a song with Nicki Minaj and Maluma, that's a big step for us.
Yeah.
Regardless. So I posted Fakhr al Arab. Yeah. And everyone was like, Ali, are you serious? Like,
Of course not. You aren't serious.
I was actually indifferent. I'm like, I'm so proud of her, regardless. Regardless, dude, there's something is. This is the beauty of it. It's the intent and not, it's the consequence and not the intent.
Like, so this, it's people would see things differently. If she said no, people would still call her Fakhr al-Arab. Because for example, if they let's say they wanted to, she knew what she was going into. Like, she understood that it's cultural appropriation or whatever.
You're talking about the cultural appropriation, but we let Waka Waka happen and she stole that line 14 years ago.
But that's the thing. You said they compared it to Shakira. So
yeah, but Shakira did bad as well there.
But then again, that generation wasn't as they say the kids now, as woke.
I get it. You know, but it was there. It was problematic back then. Why is what's Shakira's nationality?
Is she Lebanese?
Half Lebanese, half Colombian.
Why
was she singing an African song?
Mountain, the internet wasn't as vicious, Kamen.
I think it's
the price we pay now.
Yeah, true.
You want us to be more. We want us to be Haida. You're not gonna get every side of the spectrum on your side. Literally, I was watching a stand up yesterday, and they tell you like it was about liberals and Republicans. And Republicans welcome Republicans very easy.
Yeah.
Liberals, when you tell them I'm liberal, they're like, we'll see how liberal you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta be.
Are you liberal? Or are you liberal?
Like, because they were comparing it to Kanye, and I loved it. Like, Kanye back in the day said George Bush doesn't give about black people.
That was during the Hurricane
and
Katrina stuff.
And then Republicans were like, he should shut the F up.
Yeah.
You can and say then, fuck up.
And then liberals were like, no, let him talk. And then when you try to support Trump, and the like, are like, he needs to shut the fuck up.
You know?
I love the world we live in.
So I love it. I love it. It's bittersweet.
It's messy. It's beautiful.
It's bittersweet. But that's the beauty of it. But I really feel, I'm really sorry to say this, but I really feel like our generation is very tired.
Explain tired. Like, let's have that conversation.
So I was doing this comparison between boomers, millennials to Gen Zs. And boomers and Gen Zs have more in common
than us in the middle?
I'll tell you why.
Just for the listeners, Gen Zs are from which year to which year, boomers are from which year to which year.
I can't give you the precise age, but if your adolescent years were from 1996 to 2000 something, you are a millennial.
Okay. And what are the boomers again?
Boomers were before millennials.
Baby boomers like were there during the Second World War.
Yeah.
And then there was a boom of young people.
They lived in the Great Depression, and they were nice enough to bring their depression with us.
Nice.
Trickling down. Nice. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Mashkur.
So because Gen Z were born to the internet, right?
Yeah. Into the internet.
Into the internet.
Much.
And baby boomers were born to not that thing. Like, they were born to that era of the Haida.
Of analog.
We lived between analog and the internet.
Yeah, we did straddle
so
that.
So
yeah.
we had to sustain or like survive that shift. While they were very like
clear-headed.
One directional, you know what I mean? We are like four dimensions here. I'm like, I don't know how I feel here. Can I talk about my mental health? Can I not? Because my generation didn't allow me to.
Yeah.
But Gen Zs are very okay with talking about it. And you're like stuck here. I'm like, what am I supposed to
be? Yeah.
So we have the middle child syndrome.
I think we do in some ways. I've never heard Akkawi say kids these days more than in the past 3 months.
Oh my God.
That's because I hit my 30s.
Yeah, Akkawi's like kids these days.
You hit your 30s.
Yeah, man.
Welcome to the dirty 30.
Yeah, Allah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm on my way out, but it's a good one. Like, I would never go back.
I love being 30, honestly. I thought I was afraid. I was afraid.
I don't mind it. Just everything hurts an extra day.
It's so true, man. It's like a click of a button. I turned 30, back pain. I'm like, what is going on? I had no back pain just 2 days ago.
I had a different experience.
What do you mean? Like, a hangover with me now lasts 3 days and I probably just had two drinks.
Nah, but there's no comparison between me and you when it comes to that.
Alhamdulillah, we're not going to get into
it.
This is the most ammo conversation I've ever
no,
been
no,
a part
no,
of.
No, it's not toxic masculinity. It's not about that. I just have really bad traits.
Oh, okay. It's not toxic. It's my genetics.
It's my genetics. I just have really bad. I have really, really highly bad tolerance.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Fair enough.
He's trying to hold it in.
I can't.
He knows.
But yeah, no, I love my 30s. It just hurts every now and then.
They do hurt.
But you know when it hits me that I'm in my 30s? It's like when I meet someone that's like 21, I'm like, shit, that's a very long gap.
I swear to God, like some people come to talk to me. In certain areas.
In public?
In public. And they come tell me, I'm like, there was this, I can't get over it. Someone does this. Hi.
Oh.
I'm like, hi. And she's like,
I would have been, oh.
I'm like, she's like, I'm a big fan. I'm like, great.
Oh, she just reached out and like touched you.
And still,
like public
great.
Space.
But it's not about that. Wait. And I'm like, great. And she's like, we really love your work and all that. I'm like, thank you.
Thank you.
But my question is like, how old are you? And she's like, 21.
You're like, get your hand off me right now.
I'm like, I'm as old as your father. So can we not
talk about Ali's like 32. Yeah.
33.
I'm turning 40 in 6 months. And let me tell you how good it is on this side. When you move past this 30, once I move past 37. It's cruising from here. Why do you have sad music on?
No, I was...
that's good.
Welcome to
Reemsplane.
Reemsplane.
So, you didn't know. Sorry, we didn't brief you on this. So, Reem, when she gets into the moment and she wants to explain something to you, but she explains it in such a way where she makes you feel dumb.
First of all, we
call it Reemsplane.
Ali Sha'ban
is before
brilliant.
She does that, we give a heads up to our school. Cool.
Ali Sha'ban is
Thank
brilliant.
Thank you for that.
He's a brilliant man. Yeah. He doesn't need your intro.
It's not about how brilliant you are. This is just how you say it.
Thank you.
Reemsplane, we call it.
Anywho's it. So, I think the way that I see it and the way I always see it is that age and longevity is about it's a mentality, it's a lifestyle. And I know that sounds cheesy.
This doesn't sound cheesy at all.
But in my world, I surround myself with people that are strangely timeless. Like if you look at Akawi in his if you look at the way he's tucked in his shirt into his jeans today, timeless. You have no idea.
Akawi
is 50. Is he 65?
He's a mood.
Akawi's
a meme.
Yeah, he's a vibe.
A meme? Allah Sam, I thought you were going to say I'm a vibe as the
other. You are. I said
you
a mood.
Are. Yeah,
why
you
don't
are
you use vibe? It's the thing to say now.
And no, it's not. I think
for the algorithm.
I think vibe is true.
What a vibe.
And I can't vibe.
With a YBE.
Poster, you say, I am a mood.
Mood. So like, yeah. So the way I see it is that when I look at if you have deeper purpose, like if you have something that drives you beyond whatever your years are, you're not the age that you're at right now is almost irrelevant at times. As a woman, of course, we have biological questions we need to answer.
100%.
But as guys, when I look at the men that I admire, that I'm surrounded by, when you have that sort of North Star, the time that you're at right now just feels like the steps towards that greater goal. It almost warps everything out of
you're
perspective.
You're absolutely right about making us feel like she's amazing. That was amazing. I was going to tear up. I swear. That was so nice.
Next time you listen to me.
It's actually pretty amazing. That's an eye-opening.
You know, if you have a North Star.
But that's the woe of a woman. Because I'm born and raised with three sisters. Yeah. So. I know this.
Yeah.
And even my psychiatrist gave me a therapist and he said, you're more comfortable. That's why you have a lot of girls as best friends. You're more comfortable because I had a sister that passed away and she was like a really close friend of mine. She was like my best friend. So I look for her and all my friends. So I have that sister.
You always
syndrome.
Have,
yes.
yeah, I get that.
So you're absolutely right. So because of this, We tend people that are more in touch with their sisters.
Yeah.
It has more, they're more empathetic, they're empaths.
Absolutely. And like,
so
100%.
So that's
sisters.
Why, because you gave me that woe, and I'm like, oh my God, I hate what you guys go through.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for...
No, please.
I don't
want
to apologize.
Do not apologize.
There's no reason to apologize.
That was going to say, in front... Mm-hmm. I can't wait when I were at the university today. Yeah. Do you have a tissue? We're in,
I'm not crying.
No, you can. I might. Anyways, my point is today we were at the university and I said, I said it to people, speaking of Reams Planes. I was like, I'm an emotional Olympian.
Yeah, I am an emotional Olympian.
I was like, I need you to show me
the humanity.
And I looked
at them and I'm like, I'm tactical. So yeah,
I am way good on the spectrum of emotions.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Like yesterday I was sitting with myself before. I've been advised to sit with myself a bit, at least with my thoughts, and not to work or watch something.
Really?
Yes. So I need to, there's so much peace I have to do with myself. Because, I don't know if you guys know, I'm diagnosed bipolar. So
I didn't know that.
So it's a bit heavy. So yesterday when I was sitting with myself, and I'm like, oh my God, I have such bad inner monologue.
Oh, to yourself? Self. Yeah, me too.
And me too. It gets you sometimes, but there's a beauty in it as well.
I accept the fact. So I've been working at this for so long. And this is a part of my life that I feel I fail at. You know, I succeed in a lot of parts of my life. In this particular part, I feel like I fail constantly because I don't speak nicely to myself.
You know,
There's this comedian that said, if people see what I write to myself.
Yeah, 100%.
That people, my best friends would be really angry at me.
Yeah, and Akawi's actually said to me, there was a time when I was just vulnerable and I wasn't thinking and I said something and he looked at me and he said, don't speak about my friend like that.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And that's when I knew, I love you. He was like, don't speak about my friend like that. And it was wonderful.
That's one of the nicest things because someone can say. Yeah.
But you know what? Because I used to be like that.
I need to interrupt you here because some people don't understand that they want to lift you up, but it actually drags you down because they know they're coming from a place that is weak. It's hierarchical.
Yeah.
So they look at you weak. Whether they tried it, that's a pity, right? But when you switch it around the way Akawi does and make it look like you are two different entities, it makes you understand, it makes you look like, oh my God, you understand what I'm going through.
Yes.
And I have a really close friend. His name is Wasim Haddad, and I love talking to him. He's also bipolar. He's from Lebanon. And every time I feel drained, I always text him. And he's been a shoulder to cry on every single time. And he never makes me feel like a burden.
Yeah.
Because he knows what I'm going through. So I talked to him about things and he's like, dude, listen. If anyone tries to give you any Pinterest ideas about how to survive, just shut out.
Yeah,
because we wake up constantly angry.
Yeah.
But have you ever seen me angry?
No.
I've never seen you angry.
Exactly. But I'm torn inside. But God bless medication and God bless therapy. I can survive with you people, which is a nice thing to feel that you're also part of this spectrum.
Yeah.
And you're not
totally
alone.
But
that's the beauty. And I think that's why I do what I do with my art. And I'm very like a peacock.
You are a peacock.
That's what we're going to call this show. Like a peacock with Ali Shaban.
Is because I am so vulnerable there. And I do not care.
There you mean when you're sitting down with yourself?
No, with my art.
Oh, with your art. Okay.
I do not care.
And this is him.
This is me and my rawest form. This is what I want to say. This is what I'm saying. Like I was working on this brand now with my friend Tariq Rumi. And our brand is coming out soon. It's a running community brand. So one of the main campaign for the first… and also Stefan. He's one of the partners.
Oh, wonderful. Partners.
So shout out to all of them. I love you guys. So we were talking about it, like why they run and why I run. And because all of us have a different… We're all different on that spectrum. So we went and said, run through the reckless chaos.
I love that.
Because what is the reckless chaos? It's
life.
Life,
it's, you know, it's the wall you hit when you're running. It's everything.
It's the crutch.
Yeah.
It's the what is that? What happens when you cramp?
Yeah.
This is all reckless chaos.
Yeah. It's
to me is running for my mental health as well. So
yeah.
That's the whole point. And we came so collectively agreeing on it because, my God, I really feel for my generation. I really do. I want to hug everyone.
No, this is
great because around 2 weeks ago, and the episode is out, we were talking about men's mental health.
100%.
And we were talking a lot about Reem was leading on this, and she was asking me and OT some triggered questions to understand more about us. And we were always said that we used to. Now we're doing a bit much better. Or it was a taboo for any man to say anything or to ask for help.
That's the middle child syndrome.
Or to say no. Or to say I can't. Or to say مش بقدرتي, which means it's not in my power.
100%.
And then this is why I want to ask you, because so even me, by the way, back in the day as well, I never used to sit down with myself. I used to fill up my day with so many stuff.
Afraid to be alone?
By the second I get home, I am passed the hell out. With anything. Even I didn't even go sit at home. My house is a locker room.
I know, as we call it, a hotel, like our grandparents used to say.
Bro, hotel had catering and I didn't have food. Right? Just go change your clothes and leave. I didn't even used to order food in, bro. Because I knew if I order food, I'm going to sit at home. I'm not going to sit at home myself.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're literally what I used to go through as well.
Exactly. And then later on, I started understanding that, you know what? And this is just through reading stuff, meeting different people, asking the right questions, journaling even. I'm still very harsh on myself, by the way.
That's true.
But you are
your biggest critic.
But before, I used to be harsh and then just jumped. Now I'm harsh, but then I find the solution and now I celebrate myself. Yes. You know what I mean?
No, there's this joke once I said, they're like, what do you do when you're in love? I'm like, I talk to myself, I fight with myself, then I try not to talk to myself again.
I fall in love with myself and I break up with myself.
You know, and like part of it is like one of the things that I learned is like when you want to commit to something, for example, write a contract between you and yourself and sign it. Whether if it's verbal, you know, and that's what I started doing.
That's affirmation.
Exactly.
Yep.
Oh.
So you mentioned that your therapist told you to go sit with yourself and you don't like it. What are you doing anything towards changing that? Or like how are you?
I am trying.
Okay.
I'm trying. So
telling us?
Of course. Oh, okay. So I'm saying yesterday was one of like the worst bad inner monologues I've ever had. But I'm like, you know what?
But do you end it in a bad way or do you still find a way to find the positive kind of thing?
Right now, I'm just taking it a day at a time.
All right.
It's a new process for me because like you, I have a big fear of staying at home.
Mm. Yeah.
It's scary. And I understand that we fill our void with so much unnecessary things. But we do whatever we can to avoid facing our own demons.
100%. Mm-hmm. And you know, small things that I started doing when I first understood about myself, I used to never end it because I used to, like you mentioned, I used to always end it on a negative.
Yeah.
But then I started looking into how can I end it even on a small positive where you're just grateful about one thing or two.
Or we agree to disagree.
No, I never, till this day, I never agree to disagree. Either it ends with a solution or it doesn't. Or it ends with a conclusion. It needs to end with something.
Yeah.
All right? But at least now I end it with even the smallest gratefulness gesture towards something that happened towards the people or even health. At least as long as I don't end it on that same not evil but like that negative. Same kind of negative way it started. So that's how I started dealing with it, and then it progressed throughout.
There's a point you mentioned time. And I love it. So I love people. I'm a people's person.
Yes, you do.
I'm a people's person.
You are.
But it's sad because I have social anxiety, which is such a polar opposite.
It's so poetic. To be honest, I hate to say that, but it's so poetic.
But there's a thing that they tell me people, and ever like you hear stories, oh my God, this person did this to me, this person did this to me, this person said this about you, this person said this about you. And I came to the conclusion because I have, and I'll explain to you why I have the number 3 here. And I came to this conclusion that people are like fruits.
Ah.
Some are ripe and some are rotten.
Right.
But it doesn't stop you from eating fruits.
No, it doesn't. That's true.
I take chance on mankind. I love mankind.
Me
whatever,
too.
Whatever they do.
Me too. I think that, you know, I struggle with the concept of forgiveness because I feel like scarring is still there. Like when I get hurt.
But oh, you are absolutely right.
The discipline of love and loving people is to find a way.
There's a question once my therapist asked me and he's like, what's your goal in life? I'm like, I'm just to make my friends happy.
Yeah.
And he's like, why do you think that? It's like, I'm like, I grew up and God bless my mom. She tried.
She did her best.
She did her best.
She did her best.
But when it comes to dormant mental and it comes in later stages,
yeah.
You just think of your childhood as a trauma, which it wasn't. But your childhood becomes a traumatic thing.
Yes, you daisy chain all the negative events.
You don't remember the positives.
Yeah, yeah. Because the only chain that exists is the negative.
Because it was dormant back then.
Absolutely.
And I grew up and I just want everyone to be happy because I think there's so, listen, subconsciously we consume so much negative news and we don't even notice
it. Yeah.
And it stagnates here because you look at the news and you see what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
Then you hear a bad story from here. You hear a relative passed away from here. You think they don't hit you.
No, it does.
But they stack up.
Absolutely.
Because you're putting it in a storage room.
Yes, yeah. It's
your memory. Your memory vault.
Yeah.
And that's. Listen, I was once reading it because my dad, before he passed away, I think he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So I had to start reading about it. And I found out the worst thing about Alzheimer's is if you remember a bad memory, you will keep remembering it over and over again for the first time.
So wow.
That's so sad.
My mom has been a nurse in an old folks home in Toronto for 20 God bless some your soul. Odds. God 20, bless my, this, my mom is in.
Bro, if you meet Reem's mom, a burst of sunshine.
My mom
bundle
is
bundle of joy.
Yeah, my mom says
Suzette,
when I close,
we love you.
I love you, mom.
We love you, mama.
My mom says when I close my locker at work, I leave it there. She has this practice.
Wow,
and it's remarkable. Because my mom is sunshine.
She built a mental block.
A complete mental block. That's healthy. A boundary.
That's very healthy.
But one of the things, so we talk about her work often, and Alzheimer's patients are, and dementia patients are who she cares for the most part.
Yeah.
And what's remarkable, she says, is that you loop in. It's as though they're in a cloud and then the cloud parts and you don't know what part of the sky you're going to see it. So imagine your memories are all in the sky and then it parts and you will be inside the memory in the sky. And she says, sometimes they're the sad ones. So you're always going back to when you're 14 and abandoned or whatever. But then she's like, then I put them in front of the piano and then they play.
Oh, nice.
So this is why you need passion.
They tell you, exactly, 100%. You know? They tell shed bad news away from these people.
Exactly.
Because they're going to relive it.
They're just going to relive it.
Imagine.
And so if ever you start to lose your memory, I'm going to just put a bunch of carpets in front of you.
No, that's true.
They'd be like, Ali, fold the carpet.
Fold the carpet.
And he's going to start folding the carpet.
Once someone asked me, he's like, how'd you get a carpet to look like that stiff? I'm like, hairspray, bro.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Allah. Ali, what do you want to leave behind with your art, with everything?
Oh, I love this question. I don't know, man. I just want to be in books, I think.
Okay.
In books.
I just want to be remembered.
I'll remember you.
And that's all. I realized after my dad passed away and how everyone talked nice about him, that if you leave a good impression on people, they will remember it when you're not here.
If it comforts your soul any, even if I never met you, although I am such a big fan of your
guys,
work.
Guys, I swear to God, you have to know, guys. this was meant to happen 1 year ago.
100%.
I met them downstairs.
Yeah.
Downstairs, 25-hour hotel.
25-hour hotel. It was
the launch of Tina Tandoori.
Tina Tandoori. And I sat with you guys for the first, and then you guys told me what you do. And then I'm like, oh my God, I've heard your podcast before. I'm a big fan. And they're like, oh, you're a fan. I'm like, okay, since we're a fan of each other, let's do this.
We should do this thing.
Guys, that was 1 year ago.
It's true. Yeah. It takes us a while to kick off.
I see you guys like almost every day.
Yes.
Every day. But 1 year ago.
Exactly.
And we make it sound like, Ali, let me just pull out three microphones, the mixer,
Why do I feel like you could do that?
Yeah,
we were waiting for the perfect moment.
But it was. They aligned.
So if it comforts your soul any, even if I never met you, your art changed me.
Alhamdulillah.
And so in that way, I would never forget you.
Alhamdulillah. That's a beautiful thing to hear.
Then in the days that I've known you, your spirit is so unique and so beautiful. And your love for people is real.
Yeah.
So if it were, like I said, I'll remember you.
Alhamdulillah. That's the most important thing.
And I think that's it. Akawi's forgettable.
Listen, Akawi.
Unmemorable peacock.
If you don't know Akawi, I think he did the best Kanye meme.
Which
one? I watched it over and over.
I didn't finish that. The goddamn album.
Never خلص الالبوم.
عمره اشتغل. Sitting down on that bike.
Did you save any of these?
So that I posted.
That was posted.
Okay, because some of
and I reposted. Like I reposted every 2 months. Just to remind people how funny that video is. Listen, there's a meme I wrote back in the day, and I'm like, And every single time I'm disappointed in life, I repost it again, which is I want people that I did group draw projects with back in school to let me down to my grave so they can let me down one more time.
It's true. It's so true. And I held them up. I held them
every
up.
Single time. And I was like, and then one of my friends who know me saw as a cool pissy off there.
But no, I'm going to start saving more things. Like the last episode we had Simi, and Simi reminded me of this random thing I did on one of my stories where I was in an airport and I was just talking about the airport. And then I saw a pigeon and I'm like, bro, where are you flying to? And Simi found that hilarious. Like he found that hilarious. And he's like, where is it? I'm like, I don't know where it is. I don't save this. He's like, you need to save this stuff.
You know what he did to me the other day?
No, I don't know. He took a beautiful picture
for, what is it? What was
Atiyab Manoushi.
Atiyab Manoushi.
Okay.
And then he tags it down there. So okay. I hate the tag. It's so tacky. Because I like to put a tag in a certain way. Creative. Anyways.
So I was like, I'm creative.
Yes. Continue.
So I asked him for the photo.
Yeah.
And he sends me the photo with the tag.
I didn't save it.
He didn't save it. And I looked at it. I'm like…
So he's still offended by it. I don't think he's over it. He's still not over it.
He threw up on his phone.
I swear to God, he sent me with a tag. I'm like, what is this?
What is this? Like, you can't offend an artist.
I'll send you
like
a new picture,
bro.
And I'll send you another picture with the Ahu Manoushi merch.
I need the Ahu Manoushi.
I got
such
you.
So did you change the name or something?
Yeah, no. The long-lost Dubai brother is going to be called Ahu Manoushi.
And the one in Abu Dhabi?
Atiyab Manoushi until I convince my dad to change it to Ahu Manoushi. So let's see. It's baby steps. It took me a year to get him convinced. And Baba Ma'azid, no, inta Ahu Manoushi. The brand is Ahu
Manoushi.
It took me a year to do that. And then it took me like a bit of back and forth with the logo. And then when I showed it to him at the end and he realized it was him, he's like, Sabatli Shwerbi, Allah yawafak. I'm like, perfect, dad.
We love these kind of dads.
I love these kinds of dads. But I promise you, I shall send it to you. Ali, we love you, Sarah.
We love you.
Finally, I know it took a year, but I'm very happy on the show. I think this show was, and I love shows like this because it's a mixture of funny, it's a mixture of us learning, whoever is listening, learning, and also people that don't know you will see you in a different way.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
Inshallah. But listen, I don't expect people, expectation is the worst enemy for anyone.
Agreed.
Just don't expect people anything.
Me, but me.
They don't owe you anything for expectations.
In Arabic, you know what we do, what we say, and I think I said this to you once in English. عمول منيح وكب البحر.
كب البحر.
Do a good deed and just throw it in the water. Which means just don't expect anything. There's something
we always say when I do something, I'm like, I just don't do it for a thank you. I think I do it for a good prayer.
Ah, yes. For well wishes.
Well wishes. Yeah. You know what?
I love that. 100%. People ask me how much shares you have in Beit Maryam. I'm like, dua, Chef Salam. Only Chef Salam shares. The only thing I want.
Only duas. Right.
Duas.
They're like, you're always
life.
There. I'm like, yes, because of good food and getting in her duas.
Yeah, it's true. Sliding in her duas. So, right.
Sliding in her duas.
On that note, Ali Shaban, folks.
Ali Shaban. Love it, love it, love it. Now, Ali, since we have you, are you ready to be one of our first guests on the Shattaf Report?
What?
Ali, if you don't know what the Shattaf Report
please, give me a small
I'm going to tell you what the Shattaf Report, before we press the Shattaf Report segment.
All right.
All right? You know what? I'm going to press it anyway. Ready? No, not this one. Sorry.
You pressed the wrong.
Ali, are you ready?
OT
usually presses the button. I'm not there. I'm on the other side.
By the way, shout out to OT because I'm his replacement today.
OT is irreplaceable. Ali.
Just for today, OT. Just for today. I came, I'm like, where's Omar? They're like, he's not here. And I'm like,
so it's you.
So it's me.
So it's you.
Now, are you ready?
Yeah. But aren't you going to give me the intro at least?
I'll give you the intro after the intro.
How?
Just go with it.
Leave the creative. You're not the creative here. I don't know. I forgot. I only knew the عمول منيح وكب البحر.
Okay.
All right. Ali Shaban, welcome on the Shattaf Report. If you didn't know, now you know. Shattaf Report is the weekly report that we do here where Reem Hamid goes and does a service to the people, as we say, where she goes and tries out different bathrooms around the city to tell people where is the best Shattaf. Now, you're probably thinking, what do you mean, what is the best Shattaf? We have levels. One, the first level is, what was it?
Number one, the Shattaf should exist.
The Shattaf should exist. And it's construction.
The actual construction.
Number two,
of the Shattaf.
The pressure. Number three,
the temperature.
The temperature. And number four, is it 2-ply, 3-ply? What kind of tissue are we using to clean our booties?
1-ply is unacceptable.
1-ply is super. Okay.
Yeah. So, sandpaper? No.
Reem Hamid, 1 second. It's the Shattaf. Take it away.
get ready, honey. This week, who we got?
We've got Trace in studio. Do you know how much money it takes to get to that place?
I love my that place, guys.
First of all,
jeez, Louise.
What a place. Okay.
Where is this place, honey? Tell
us. It's in the Palm. Why am I? I'm not.
No, no, please, no, no, please. I want you to be a part of this.
It's in the Palm Mall.
Yes, it's in the Palm, and it is the one of the best dining experiences.
But can I have to explain something about it?
Please.
No, no. So it's a botanic. Even their bar botanic.
Yeah.
So they believe in sustainability. So they repurpose their food.
So the toilet paper is recyclable from recycled material. No.
But they grow everything. If you go out on the patio, they grow everything as well.
Nice. Everything is there, and the experience is theater. Go to the bathroom, though.
Yeah, okay, take us to the bathroom.
So tell me your bathroom.
Go to the bathroom.
I have a bathroom story after this.
Okay, we should. We go to the bathroom. The tiles are gray. The bathroom is black. The shataf is all black. The experience…
Is the toilet black?
The toilet is black.
I don't like that.
I know you don't like
that.
That
loses points.
Fine, let me finish. Okay. So number one, the shataf exists.
Nice.
It is a black shataf. A little bit on the cheap side, but that's okay because everything in the meal… is dope.
Okay, fair enough.
but that's okay, right?
Okay.
The money's gone where it's supposed to go. The shataf is just literally an average black shataf.
Okay,
plastic.
Fair enough.
It's okay. It exists.
All right.
So I give it… I give that a 2.
Okay.
All right. The pressure… Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Oof. You're clean coming out of there. You're clean.
Ooh.
I don't know if
you're
the water is…
You're clean your soul.
Yeah, your spirit
your soul is cleansed.
Is cleansed. You're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. Temperature, a little bit cold, but some people like that. It was also nighttime when you go. There's a 6 p.m. seating. There's a 9 p.m.
Usually you have a temperature. What was the temperature on this cold
water?
Honestly,
it was a bit cold. It was like around a 23 or something.
Ooh.
I felt it. But you know what?
Chitty.
Again, the experience of Trace in Studio… Let's this be okay.
It's called the stuff report. Tell me about the toilet paper.
The toilet paper was a 2-ply, but you also get wet towels. The only place in the city where you get wet towels.
In the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
What do you mean? Like, well, 1 second. Like, is it next to the sink? Or is it like in every compartment?
You know how someone you walk in, there's usually like a shelf. There's a shelf. There's a shelf with like hand towels, like regular hand towels. And then there's like wet towels.
How does the wet towel… Are they like nice
they
scented
smell
ones?
Nice. They smell nice.
Scented ones are not good for you.
Listen, I don't mind. I just like the effort. Okay? I don't mind. At this point, this is the only place in the city that I've seen this. And I've been to a lot of places.
Out of 5, Rimhami, what is it getting?
I gave it a solid 4 only because of the construction of the shataf. And it was a bit cold.
I have a story.
Ali has a bathroom story.
Guys, I was going to Paris.
Not a shataf in sight.
There's not a shataf in sight. So we took something called the Islamic shataf.
What the hell is an Islamic shataf?
You find it in Saudi.
It's portable.
It's a portable shataf.
We
call it an Islamic
shataf. Al Islami.
Ah, okay.
Is that what they call it? Okay.
I swear, I'm not making this up.
Anyways, carry on.
Anyways. And we get to Hotel de Crillon, and it was one of the most beautiful hotels I've ever
seen.
Hotel de Crillon. I'm not saying it correctly, guys. I don't speak French.
Anyways. None of us do.
I thought
you said it right.
Either.
I just like the way you said it. Hotel de Crillon.
We love it.
So I go into the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful shower. Amazing shower. Amazing. The toilet looks amazing. So I get into the bathroom, which is behind a mirror.
Oh. Mm. So the throne is behind a mirror.
Yeah.
The throne is behind… That could be a name of a good book.
I swear to you, I see a shataf.
Impossible. C'est pas possible. C'est pas possible.
Guys, you know…
What?
Attends. C'est pas possible.
Non.
Okay.
Guys, do you know when a football player scores a goal?
Do you know?
I swear to you, I'm not joking. I ran through the hotel room doing this.
Kissing your mom, doing all that
like,
stuff.
And I even kneeled on the ground. I'm like, thank you, God. And I even did such a directly.
That is how important this report
Merci
is, my guy.
De Paris.
So I'm like,
Mm-hmm. It was just a
problem.
No.
Okay, give us a shataf report about it. Ali, how was the pressure?
The pressure is… Yeah, and you can give it a mid.
It's Paris.
However, the temperature.
No.
Oh,
it has cold and hot water.
Stop.
Oh!
Stop this.
This is why people are involved. I disagree.
I think it's because… How much Arabs go to Paris?
I'm pretty sure an Arab didn't go tell them, I want to shut off and I want to choose my temperature. No, they just said, I want to shut off. But then French guys are like, attends. People love options. This is why we're a 5-star hotel. Give them hot, give them cold.
Yes.
Whatever floats
the boat.
It was freezing, but
The hot water was impeccable.
Oh, this is a vibe, guys.
Yeah, right. Ali, you know, why do you have to make me want to go to a place I need to get a shingen to? Ali, this is not why we do shottaf.
Actually, I would never. You're such a great person. I swear to God, I don't want to leave.
So now what? How are you going to get to Paris, bro?
I don't know, man.
It's okay.
Actually, if you Google Hotel de Creole and see what's the price of one... I didn't pay for the hotel.
It doesn't matter.
I was on a trip.
Hotel de Creole, if you want to sponsor us coming through and trying your shot off.
Please. You have to.
On y va.
look at the price per day. And you're like, you know what? Screw that.
It's always great to closing the show making us feel poor. So, Ali. Ali, I love you. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys.
We love you so much. And I can't wait to have
you're such a fan, guys.
I can in this lifetime. I love you. We love you.
Friends forever, inshallah.
We love you.
Masalam.
Bye.
Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holla at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.